Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Survival Jobs, the podcast in collaboration with Broadway World and Broadway Podcast Network. I am your host, Jason A. Coombs, along with my co-host, the wonderful, beautiful, talented, mega inspirational, I could give her all the flowers, Samantha Dawn Tutsalo, who you can't see if you're watching the video. Samantha actually is not here for the mic check today. She was having some serious computer problems. Her MacBook crashed, so you're stuck with me today doing her intro. She will be here for the interview with Dana, our lovely guest, but she's not here in the intro, and I'm all by myself, and I'm feeling a little scared and anxious and nervous. No, I miss you, Samantha, because I'm sure you'll be listening to this, and you're going to wonder how it went. So it's weird, but we're here. Yeah, let's just dive into it. I just wanted to share, before we talk about our guest Dana Steingold, I just wanted to share that Bridgeport Film Fest was this past weekend and it was a huge success. We had a bunch of people come. We had workshops, panels. It was so much fun. But if you missed out on that fun, you can still get your tickets to our virtual portion of our festival, which we extended this year because there's 92 films and people can't watch that in one weekend. So you have until Monday, September 18th to get a virtual pass and check out all these wonderful, beautiful, award-winning, inspiring films that are just made by local filmmakers across the United States and from 13 other countries, y'all. They're incredible. Check it out. Support the Bridgeport Film Fest. We need your support. We need your love. And these filmmakers need it as well. So definitely want to shout that out. And then I'm just going to jump right into it because I don't want to take up too much time. This interview is so freaking good with Dana Steingold. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. But first, the interview was just so great. We talked about Beetlejuice. We talked about survival jobs. We talked about just working in this industry. And then The Cottage, which is the hit Broadway show right now, and that we got to dive into and talk about why audiences are so excited for it. So it was a really great interview. I'm super excited to share with you all. That's why I'm jumping straight into it. And let's go into Dana's bio. All right. So Dana Steingold is currently starring in Broadway's The Cottage as the hysterical showstopper Deidre. She originated the role of Girl Scout in Beetlejuice on Broadway, where she also covered the role of Lydia Dietz. Broadway national tour credits include the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. Off-Broadway / New York credits include Avenue Q, The Visit, Saturday Night, Anyone Can Whistle. Regional credits include Paper Mill Playhouse, North Shore Music Theater, George Street, Westport Country Playhouse, Barrington Stage, Baltimore Center Stage, KC Rep, North Carolina Theater, Two River, Weston Playhouse. And then finally, TV credits include Inventing Anna on Netflix, Seraline Timbers on Nickelodeon's Welcome to the Wayne. This woman has been working, y'all, and she is a joy to chat with. You're going to get so many nuggets of information today. So get your paper and pens out to take some notes while you're listening to this for those of you who are aspiring performers, because Dana's dropping some good ass info. All right, so enjoy the interview. Thank you for tuning in. Samantha, we miss you. Mwah, big kisses. And yeah, here's Dana's interview. Enjoy.
Hi, Dana. Welcome to Survival Jobs the Podcast.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me.
Of course, thank you for joining us. We're so excited to chat with you. We've kind of been on like a little hiatus. Not really. We haven't really done an interview in this setting in a few weeks. So I'm pumped and so excited. And I can't wait to talk about all the things, including the cottage. How fun.
Yay.
It's your day off, yeah?
It is my day off. I'm very excited about it.
Happy day off. And also, like, thank you for joining us on your day off. That's iconic.
Yeah, of course.
I know you're
well, working. I try to be as iconic as possible, you know.
Don't we all?
Well, thank you for working on a little bit on your day off. But
yeah, for sure.
So the name of our show is Survival Jobs. So let's jump in with that. I was doing a little bit of research and I saw that you went to NYU. You've been living in New York City since then, pretty much, right?
Yeah, I've been living in New York City since then. I left right after college to go on tour. And then I basically booked the revival of Godspell and moved back to the city. And then that got canceled. And then I had to get a survival job.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Do you have a favorite survival job in New York City that you've had?
Oh my gosh. I've had a lot of really fun ones, actually. I never worked in the restaurant industry. I'm definitely not cut out for that. It takes a specific kind of person, I think. I tried the cater waiter thing for a second. That was not for me either. I couldn't carry the trays. They were too big. I'm klutzy. They were going to spill. It was bad. But I always loved working in boutiques because I loved like talking to people and I was great. I was a great salesperson. So my favorite one was actually, I worked at a store that is now no longer, but for this amazing woman, Kristen, and it was called Alex and Lorenzo on the Upper East Side. It was a little like interior design and gift store. And I was obsessed with the shop. She was so great. She was so flexible. She let me like leave when I had to go to an audition or whatever. I was mostly there alone, which meant I could sit on a stool when nobody else was around and kind of just like learn sides or watch TV on my computer. And it was really great until the day the store got robbed. And that was a less great day.
No.
For me.
Yes. You were there?
I was there, yeah.
No!
Yeah. It happened on like a Saturday morning. And the store's on like Lexington and was on Lexington in like 77th. So you don't really expect it. It was raining. And normally the door is open. There's a bunch of stores on the same street. And someone came in and they had a hoodie on. And like it just looked like a normal person that was coming in from the rain. And then they asked for all the money in the register. And we closed about an hour later for the day. But luckily, nothing bad happened. Everyone was safe, took money and went. Yes.
I am sorry you had to go through that. Were you just like, here, take the money?
You know, I wish I could say that I was like that. I went into my natural like Dana mode and I was like, oh, sir, you don't want to do that. You really don't want to do that. Like, and Kristen, the owner, was like, okay, if anyone ever comes in again and asks for the money, just give them the money. Like, don't try to fight them.
I used to manage a restaurant that Jason and I both worked at together. And the owner always said, like, if someone comes in, just give them whatever they want.
Yeah.
So that's why I asked, because I was like, huh, I wonder how that
works. No, we had never had that discussion. And fortunately, in my, you know, now 20 years or whatever in New York, nothing like that had ever happened to me and has happened since. So I guess that's like my one New York story. Yeah. But
I think it's like a one-off.
Yeah. And like, weirdly, it aligns with a friend's like, one of my friends who's also in the business did this like very campy like bachelorette event where we all went to Medieval Times later that day. So like I got robbed at a store and then I went to Medieval Times. So like those two things will forever be tied together.
Dana, are you a writer? Because this sounds like a short film. I don't know. Like it's so, I don't want to say funny. I'm sorry that happened to you, but like.
No, gosh. It is funny. It is really funny. Like there's a photo of me later that day in like a Medieval Times crown. With like a giant leg.
That is with the giant and the turkey leg or the chicken leg. They're so big. I love a Medieval Times moment. Wow.
I do too. Yeah. It was my friend Nika Lanzaroni. It was her right before her wedding. So
shout out. I think now I don't think I'll be able to go to Medieval Times without thinking about this robbery as well.
So I'm sorry I ruined it for you. Yeah.
No, it's like elevated it now.
Oh, great.
Okay, so aside from the robbery, you liked that survival job, right?
Loved it.
Do you have a survival job that you did that you didn't love? That maybe you have another crazy story to go along with?
That I didn't love? You know, I would say I worked in a clothing store for a while that I really liked all the girls there, but the owners were a little bit kook-choo. And we did have to be on our feet all day, which was also like not ideal. So I was very excited when I moved over to Alex and Lorenzo and I got to sit. But yeah, I would say also the summer between like my junior year of college and my senior year, maybe I stayed in the city to do a couple summer classes so I could graduate a bit early. And I think I was like, I should probably make a little bit of extra money. And I passed out flyers for the New York Sports Club I lived in Murray Hill at the time. So it was that one that was like between 32nd and 31st I don't even know if it's still there on Park. And it was, that was terrible. It was like 95 degrees. And I was like handing out, I think you only got paid, if I remember correctly, like by how many people signed up based on your flyer passings, because they had your name on them. It was terrible. Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah, I did a job like that too. I did I think 4 hours, and I'm on my lunch break. I just never went back. I threw the flyers away. I was like, I can't.
I quit.
That's not for me.
I think all of the New York sports clubs in New York City are gone. I don't think barely any of them survived the pandemic.
Yeah. I mean, that tracks. Yeah, I think so much of the fitness industry, so many things closed in the city. But yeah, that one was not my favorite job I've ever had. And then from Alex and Lorenzo. Yeah. And from there, a customer actually, when the store closed, hired me to be her personal assistant. And I've honestly been working with her and for her ever since. So it's been 13, I don't even know how many years at this point, but, and I'll never give it up, because once you have a Broadway show canceled or something like that happens to you, you're like, I better have something in my back pocket that I can do that's flexible, that I kind of enjoy. And it allows me to pick and choose what I want to do and not have to do things I don't. And I like having that agency. So shout out to Judy. She's the best.
Yeah. Judy out there. Hope you're listening, Judy.
She probably is. Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Michigan. You grew up in Michigan, right?
I did. Yeah.
Cool. And did you always want to be a performer, like when you were a kid, or was there like a catalyst, like aha moment that you had growing up that was like, I want to do this, or I can do this?
Yeah. You know, I think I was just really precocious as a kid, and I loved performing, and my parents like went to dental school and they knew nothing from this world. And so they sort of did what every other parent does if they have a kid who's kind of maybe interested in the arts, and they put me in dance class. And my mom said that I just kind of like got upset with all the other people who weren't taking it seriously and didn't know the moves. And I was sort of like the only one who knew the entire dance. And they were like, all right, well, I guess we'll keep letting her go to dance class. And in my first grade talent show, I sang Part of Your World from The Little Mermaid, and I wouldn't rehearse it with my mom. So they were very surprised when I got up and I did a complete act laying on the floor with like a fin and fully staged my entire number. And they had no idea I could really sing, that it was like a real thing. So from there, I just started doing community theater, and I heard people clapping for me and kind of fell in love. And yeah, and the rest, as they say, is history, I guess. But so I just kind of started doing community theater around there. And at the time, a lot of us were sort of in that world. The Keenan Bolgers grew up like 30 minutes from me, and we were all doing theater together. And Jenny Florkowski and Nathan Keene, a bunch of people who are still like in the business now. We all grew up doing children's theater together. And I saw them all go off to college and sort of worshiped them and thought that will be my path as well. And eventually found my way to theater camp. And that's kind of where I really knew it was something I wanted to do.
Oh, I love that. I'm obsessed that you have the fin. Where did you find the fin?
Well, the Finn, I didn't like what was in the store. The offerings were not good enough. So my wonderful neighbor, Karen, was enlisted to make me a handmade Finn, and she sequined it. It was gorgeous. I think my parents still have it, weirdly, in the basement somewhere. But with four kids, I think you keep a lot of weird mementos. Like, I don't think it had any real meaning to them. It's just somewhere in the basement.
I love that. That's
yeah.
So good. Wow.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Well, okay. So then, you know, you went from the Finn and now you have this amazing career. We have a ton of young listeners who maybe are stuck in survival jobs, maybe are in college trying to figure out how to take their next steps. Can you please share? Am I okay? Happy Monday, everyone. Can you please share a little bit about your journey to get representation and what that looked like for you?
Yeah. So, you know, I went to NYU. So I do think I always say go to college for anything. I think it is an integral part of becoming a well-rounded human being, emotionally and socially. So you don't have to study theater. I have plenty of friends who went to Yale and studied, like Lauren Worsham's a great example. She studied Spanish literature at Yale and then was on tour with me in Spelling Bee. You know, you don't have to necessarily focus on theater, but I just think that part of development is very important. And so I basically went to NYU and I figured like I have to take the next leap. And if you do a showcase at one of the bigger schools, hopefully you get representation. And luckily I did. So right before I graduated, I signed with my first agent, and this is going to make it, because the in-between has not been this simple, but this is going to sound very simple and like a wonderful story, which it is. But I signed with my agent. The first audition they sent me out on was for theater, was the tour of the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. And I ended up getting it. So, but that being said, and it was like this wonderful blessing and it was incredible. But then the next thing I went out for, which was Godspell, I got it and then it all fell apart. So it is this magical thing, but it then took me another, whatever it was, 12 years to get back to Broadway, you know, and I had to kind of like do the survival job thing, do the regional theater thing, which is actually an amazing thing. Everyone should do regional theater. We love regional theaters. Wow. You learn so much. You get to do so much amazing work and support your regional theaters. That's all I'll say. But
support right now. So
yeah, exactly. They really do need the support right now. And you know, that's where you get to kind of hone your craft and you meet so many people before they kind of become these amazing directors and, you know, they're always amazing, but before they're sort of have any notoriety in New York. And also a lot of the most creative stuff you'll do is done outside of the city because financially it's viable or used to be viable to do these kind of sort of experimental versions of things in these amazing creative spaces where the eyes were not on it as much as it is here. And there aren't as many investors and so much money of riding on these big choices, right? So yeah, regional theater is amazing. But so for anyone out there, I would say, obviously, if you attend one of those, you know, Big Ten schools for theater, your showcase will be really well attended. Hopefully you will have representation. However, I look really young. That was marketable at the time. And I have a ton of friends who I went to school with who people did not know quite what to do with at that moment because they maybe didn't fit the mold of what was like the thing. I was coming off of like Spelling Bee was happening and Spring Awakening had happened and all these things that were sort of like youthful. But then there were people like my friend Grace McLean, who I went to college with, who was always the most incredible actress and so special, but people didn't really understand what to do with her till she was like 30. You know, and so people peak at different times. So I always say like showcase is this weird thing that we all have to do, but don't be don't be deterred if someone doesn't understand what to do with you or doesn't sign you, or, you know, it just takes time and it's not a linear path for everybody. And you really cannot look sideways because it will frustrate you. You cannot compare your journey to anybody else's.
That's such good advice.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to Grace. She is amazing.
Amazing. I mean, truly fantastic. Like, yeah.
Hello. Not real.
No, she's amazing. But that's like a great example of someone who is so incredible in college. And it took a while for like the community to catch up with her uniqueness, you know, and understand what she offered. And that's why I think school is such a weird thing, because the only thing schools, there's no better way, I guess, right? Is they know how to package you into this thing that they think you'll be most viable as. And so you come out and people are like, you are a Kristen Chenoweth slash whatever type, right? So you're like, these are the rules you're going for. But if you're so unique that nobody understands the box you're in, they're like, huh. Okay, so you're going to be you. We don't know where that fits quite yet, you know? And so that means taking on a lot of development work, hence the survival jobs, because development is the best thing you'll do and is 90% of the business actually, but does not pay very well. But it is, it pays in your heart. It's the best thing to do, but
the connections, right?
Oh, absolutely. I would say every great job I've had has come from planting the seeds in development with them on either that project or another project. But it's hard. I mean, you 29-hour readings, which is most of the business, are really like 49-hour readings because you spend all the time at home doing the work to make sure that it seems flawless in a room. And then on top of that, you know, you're making a $200 for these 29 hours, which makes it sort of impossible to work the rest of the week, but nobody can live on $200 for the week. So that's, if you're doing four readings a month, that's not a great salary to pay your rent. So it's tough.
Yeah. Especially these days.
Especially these days. Yeah.
Well, let's look fast forward just a little bit to Beetlejuice. I hear there's like the Beetlejuice fans are wild in the best way. We saw so many of them at BroadwayCon. We were there, like all dressed up, doing the cosplay. It's amazing. But for those who don't know, you originated the role of Skye, the Girl Scout.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you for saying her name.
yeah, of course. Do you have a favorite memory of that time? You also did it before the pandemic and after, right? Did I get that correct?
Yeah, I did both iterations. And that was something too, where I started at the 29-hour reading level. And luckily they like took me on the ride. So yeah, I mean, that show's filled with amazing memories. I always say that like, not that, you know, Godspell falling apart was a great thing. It certainly wasn't. But I honestly wouldn't have made my debut any other way with another group of people. It was so spectacular. It was like originating a role, doing a cast recording, doing the Tony Awards, doing the Thanksgiving Day Parade. And it was a show that people, I mean, I feel like a broken record because I feel like I say this on every podcast and every whatever, but like, I think you're very lucky if one Beetlejuice comes into your life ever in your whole career. So I'm not sure that that will ever happen again, but the way that people connect with it is so incredible. And the fan base is so wild. Like, I've never experienced anything like that. And in the best way, it's very overwhelming. I really mean that in a great way, but people just connect with it. And, you know, we loved what we had made, but we weren't sure if other people did. And we were not sure how long we'd run. And it sort of kept chugging along. I always say it's like the little big show that could. because at every turn, we thought this could never happen. And then each time it did, like weirdly, like, it defied like kind of all the odds. So
I love that. And I was also reading a little bit about the original movie and they kind of felt the same way. They were like, they weren't sure if people were going to connect to this weird movie. And then he's one of the biggest iconic movies of all time. So it's interesting. You guys have had that experience as well. Like, you weren't sure people were going to connect. And now there's like this amazing, huge fan base that goes crazy for it still. It's wild.
It's crazy. Like, the tour is going super well. And I think they're like sold out everywhere, and they're already planning that on year two, they're going back to cities they already went to because they were sold out and they need to go back again. So it's wild. And it's a testament, I think, to like the fan base, and a testament to, I think, how much we loved each other. And I think that sort of set the, I think that's what people connected to as well as the show, was how much fun we were having. And, you know, now we have this like amazing thing. We got to create a thing and now we gave it to the world. And now all these people get to play these parts. And that's like so awesome and so special. And every time someone just sent me, the girl who's playing the Girl Scout in Japan sent me a message the other day and was like, I don't speak English very well, but I'm using Google. And I just wanted to say that I'm so excited to be doing this. And I saw it in New York. And I was like, this is so cool. Cause now I've connected with like the girl who did it in Korea, the girl who did it in Japan. And now there's like this little club that we all get to be a part of. And that's very cool to have like started that. Yeah.
That is so sweet.
Yeah. It's really cool. Like people really love the show, and I get it. Cause I had that kind of love for shows when I was younger too. And so
yeah,
it's really cool.
I certainly loved that production.
Yeah.
And I low-key wore these green earrings like in honor of Beetlejuice.
Green, white, black. It's all very Beetlejuice. Green.
Yeah,
I know. Did you see the most recent Sex in the City? Anyone?
I'm not caught up. I've seen a lot of it, but I'm not completely caught up.
Without giving away, in the finale, she throws this dinner party, and the outfit she's wearing, I was like, is this inspired by Delia's costume in the finale of Beetlejuice? Like, it's very, I think it's Oscar de la Renta, but it's very William Ivy Long. A la Leslie Kritzer.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, now I'm like, noted. Understand. I understand this.
Yeah, very black and white. Yeah.
How iconic that like you are on the cast album that like the, you know, the tours are learning from, right? And then like community theaters, and when they do it in schools, like they're gonna be learning from you. Because people are playing that and they're gonna like learn the show from you. That's so iconic.
It's very cool. I will say like that was probably the most meaningful thing, because that and the Thanksgiving Day Parade, because those are the things that when I was little, that was my entryway to theater, because I didn't even know what the Tony Awards were. You kind of have to have a knowledge of what the theater space is to know what the Tonys are. Yeah. But everybody watches the Thanksgiving Day Parade and watches those performances. So I was sort of like, whoa, what is this? Like, this is so cool. And cast albums, I used to go to Barnes & Noble. I'm dating myself here, but like I would go to Barnes & Noble and I would put the headphones on and like sample all of the recordings, because you could listen to everything there before deciding what to buy, because this was sort of before YouTube and before social media and all that stuff. So we had to imagine what everything was. And when we went to theater camp, the coolest person was always the person who had the most cast recordings with them. Yeah. And that was my friend Eric, and he had every single one. And yeah, it's so that for sure is like the coolest thing, is to have a song on a cast recording, I think.
Do you remember that store in New York?
Colin?
Yes. Thank you so much. Yeah. Because when I used to, we're from Connecticut. So when I used to come into the city for shows, I always went to Colony and thought I was so cool for buying like sheet music and a cast album or whatever I was buying.
Oh, yeah.
So sad. Like, bring back Colony. Let's bring back Colony.
A
campaign. Jeez.
I know. It's funny.
I love how I didn't even like describe it. I was like, do you
know it?
And you were like, yes.
You got it.
I'll do it.
But because they're so, it's funny. I think when you live in New York long enough, you see all of these things come and go, and you're like, wow, I'm a real New Yorker now. Like, I'm crying because this restaurant closed that I used to go to every day, or like Colony, where you used to be able to find like the weird, rare cast albums. Because there was also, oh gosh, was it the Virgin Megastore? Was that what it was, where you could go down as well? Wow. And this was like, I grew up in Detroit, but I would come visit the city and visit my friends from summer camp. And it was so cool when we got to go there. And I would buy everything that wasn't available at my particular Barnes & Noble in Muswellbrook, Michigan. I was like, they don't carry the Broadway Kids albums.
Flashback, Virgin Megastore.
Oh my God.
So fun.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time. No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So, but let's transition and start talking about the cottage. Congratulations, by the way. How amazing. It's getting so well received. And so what do you think it is about this show and this production that's just getting critics to love it and audiences to give word of mouth and people to spread the word and come back? What is it about the cottage?
You know, what is it about that sweet cottage? Yeah. I think much like Beetlejuice, the show is just simply a lot of fun. And I think we sort of underestimate the power of just going into theater or going into a movie right now for just escapism. And you get to come in for 2 hours and laugh, and you kind of forget what's going on in the world. And that's not to say that it isn't amazing to go and see something that's dark and meaningful and all these things. It obviously is. But there is something nice about just letting go and being like, I don't have to think that much. I just get to kind of go on this ride. And at the end, you realize you have actually been sort of like, we've planted these seeds for you. And it actually, it has a little bit more to say than initially I think it appears. But yeah, I think it's a lot of fun. And I think it sort of speaks to anyone who's married, been in a long-term relationship, because it sort of explores like what happiness is and how that changes for each couple. It may not look the same, and it explores like fidelity and what a happy marriage looks like. And it has kind of a feminist twist, which also kind of, even though it's 1922 in the play, it's very, I think, 2023, very like Barbie-esque to the patriarchy kind of situation at the end. There's a very like female power, I would say, at the end.
I love that. What was the rehearsal process like? And did you get, I don't want to be insulting because you're a professional actor, but did you get nervous working with someone like Jason Alexander or like Laura Bell Bundy, Eric McCormack, these like huge people that we've watched on TV for years upon years?
Totally. I mean, I think I was more, I wouldn't say it's like nerves. It's more just that you want to, you don't want to be like the odd man out who like isn't bringing the most to the table. You know what I mean? So I would say I don't want to say that it's nerves. It's more just like you feel pressure to elevate your work to try to match theirs, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But yeah, the rehearsal process was really fun. The great thing about this show is that it really is like six people. And if one of them isn't working as hard as the others, it kind of falls apart. It has to be, everyone has to kind of be on the same page. So I feel really lucky to be working with six incredibly generous and creative actors. And we all really like each other, which I think is also apparent, because I don't think a show would work like this would work if we didn't. And, you know, I do most, I love Alex, and I think Lily is most incredible, and we had only done like a reading prior, and Nahal too, we had done like a reading 100 years ago together, but this is the first time we're like properly working together. And it's been so fun, and everyone in the room is so creative. I mean, the things that didn't make it into the show are wild. Like the things we pitched that I'm like, I would love to see the version of the cottage where it's just our pitches, because there were some crazy ones. But yeah, and you know, Jason obviously is like a legend on TV and also in the theater world, you know, like being in the original Mary Lee Roll Along and Jerome Robbins Broadway and all these things. So it's just kind of always an honor to be in the room with somebody who has that kind of legacy. And he also enters the space as an actor as well. So he has like both hats on sometimes, and that can be really helpful because he can sort of like help you key in to moments that aren't working through sort of an actor lens also. And he'll see when you're getting sort of like stuck, I would say, because you're like, this isn't working for me. Like, I don't know why, but it's not feeling organic. And I'll be like, oh, let's try this instead. And you're like, okay, that helps. Yeah. So I think that's been nice.
I love that. And it was a quick follow up. How involved was playwright Sandy Rustin in the process? Because you were saying it's such a feminist kind of who the patriarchy kind of story at the end. So like, was she part of the process a lot?
Oh yeah, she was there all the time. And when she wasn't there, very accessible to us. I think like she said, like it's a normal part of her process to sort of step away for a few days also and come back so she can come back with fresh eyes. And so she was super involved. We were always texting her being like, okay, we're stuck here. Like, we don't understand what this is. What's your intention here? Cause this is confusing to me. Or, you know, and she would always have like an amazing explanation for us as to why the character did the thing that they did. Cause she has been working on the piece for, I think 10 years now. I hope I don't have that incorrect, but she's a really incredible writer and collaborator and friend, and she's excellent. So she was always around. And then in previews, everybody's there the whole time because we're constantly, you know, editing, changing, replacing, putting back, all kinds of things.
That's so cool.
That's so amazing. So without any spoilers to our listeners, do you have a favorite moment on stage or a favorite scene maybe that you're not super like heavily involved in?
Yes. So Lily Cooper has a moment, without giving it away, I guess that's tough, but she has a great moment that I think it gets everybody on stage involved in like a group physical comedy moment that I think is like really great. And I'm sort of lying drunk on the floor at this point, not
fun
spoilers. So I get to just kind of watch it all happen. And I'm sort of the button, but like, it's just really fun to watch. And really the drunk section is also very fun. Like, who doesn't want to be drunk on stage? You can do whatever you want. So that's
fun.
Like, there's really no rules once that happens. So other than like, don't pull too much attention, I guess.
So in conclusion, everyone, go see The Cottage now.
Yes, and you have till October 29th. So really now. Yeah. Now is good.
Now is the time.
You have 8 weeks.
Samantha, we need to go. We need to be there.
A lot in weeks. I know. I was not even going to say that we haven't seen it yet, but we haven't. But we will be there.
It's okay. You'll come. It's really, really fun.
We'll live stream outside of the theater right before. And we'll be like, hello, listeners. Just so you know, we've made it to the theater. We're here. We're ready for the drunk scene. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Good night.
Right. Because without any spoilers, my character is sort of like one person in act one and then reveals herself to be a different person in act two. So she goes on a real journey.
Love that.
And you guys did a panel with our colleague Alan from Broadway Podcast Network, right? At Broadway.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't make it. Well, I don't know, Jay. Maybe you did. I didn't make it. But I heard it was so good.
Yeah. Alan's great. He's the best. And it's always nice to chat with somebody who is knowledgeable about theater. And then it's always nice to be on a panel of women, because I always find that to be just really, I don't know, especially in a show that kind of has such a female, I would say like the undercurrent is very like pro-female, to have a female playwright and then be on stage with these other two very strong women as well, who I respect so much, Lily and Laura. It just was great to have us with Sandy. I think you never get to do an event with just the women of anything. That never happens. So thanks, Alan. Yeah.
Thank you, Alan, if you're listening. We talk about him, I feel like, often these days. And I always tell him, I'm like, did you listen to our latest episode? Because we talked about you. And he's like, no. I sure didn't.
Yeah. No.
This one. Maybe this will be the lucky one.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I just want to say you've had such an amazing career so far. Congratulations on all your success. But do you have like a dream role or a dream collaboration that you would like to pursue, that you want to manifest? We're big manifestors on this podcast.
I love manifesting. I always say it's like, it's always the thing that I don't think is coming is the next dream, right? Because I want to create it and make it. And I think part of the ability of, or I should say ability, part of being forced to wait to make your Broadway debut is that like it allows you to take all of this time to sort of really decide what's going to be right for you. Because if you've waited this long, you're like, what's going to be the next thing? Like, I want to make sure it's different, and then it pushes me and does all this stuff. So I think I certainly didn't see Beetlejuice coming, and I definitely didn't see The Cottage coming. So I think my dream role next is probably something else that I don't know exists yet that I get to make from the ground up. And I love working at the development level. I love being in the room with writers and creators. I find it fascinating, but also inspiring, because I think that's when all the best work happens, is sort of in that time where people are just throwing out ideas. And there's an ownership to it also that you don't get when you replace. Like when you replace an Avenue Q, it was an amazing time for me and I loved doing the show, but you're mostly going to numbers that somebody else decided for you because it was organic to them. Yeah. And that's a skill in itself, like justifying that. And there are people who are so, so good at it. But yeah, and it was not to say that it wasn't incredible, but it's a different kind of fulfillment than when you've made it and you've created the moments, like moment to moment with each person on stage, and you're not kind of just like fitting into somebody else's puzzle piece 15 years later. Right. So yeah, I think the dream role is always just something I don't know that will exist hopefully soon, but maybe not soon. We'll see.
That's a great answer. And we ask that question pretty consistently on our show, and I don't think we've gotten that answer yet. So thank you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, if you want like a stock answer, I can tell you that I think it'd be very fun to be in Six. I think Anne Boleyn looks like a very fun track.
Literally so fun.
And like everyone wants to do, everyone wants to fly in the bubble, you know, like that's good too. That's always great.
Just come right on down.
Come right on down.
In that bubble, you know? Amazing. So we did tell you that we always love to end each episode with a game. We love to keep it light and fun and laugh. So we have a super fun game planned for you. I hope you're ready. But before we do that, you're on Broadway right now. You're doing your thing, being drunk, and whatever else is happening in there that we'll see soon.
Doing your thing, being drunk.
Doing your thing on Broadway, just being drunk. And a lot of other amazing elements to your role, I'm sure. I was just being silly.
Oh, yeah. No, the idea of like being taken out of context, like you're on Broadway doing your thing, being drunk.
You're drunk on Broadway every night. And somebody's listening, they're like, what?
She's super professional.
Just doing nips backstage. We're kidding, you guys. This is not real. This is not factual.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
But aside from your performing and your show right now, is there anything that's feeding your soul artistically? Any TV shows that have been inspiring? Books? Podcasts?
I do listen to a lot of podcasts. I tend to get my news now on podcasts because I found it, especially like post-election, post-pandemic, like I think we were all in this news, like we could not turn off CNN or MSNBC and all these things for literally almost like 24 hours a day. And I think we went on overload. So now I try to kind of like do more podcast focused, like actually learn about something for 25 minutes that I can then speak eloquently about like later. So I would say that. And then I don't think we're allowed to talk about the TV shows. I don't know, but maybe not if we're not promoting them. But what I will say is I am an unfortunate reality TV big fan. It's embarrassing, but they're kind of my life. And I love all the Housewives. So right now, having crappy Lake and Orange County and New York all at once is like an embarrassment of riches. So that's feeding my soul.
Lake did something to me this summer and brought me back to a place of happiness. Like, can we get a season two of Crappy Lake? Or
I want them to do this where they go to different towns.
They have like, to.
They must. The fact it is literally like, who pitched it? Who was like, okay, Schitt's Creek, but with Luann and Sonia.
So Luann wrote on Instagram, like, oh my God, I can't believe it's the finale. Where do you guys want us to go next? But Bravo's not saying anything about a season two. And I think they should probably be filming it right now. So I'm really stressed that it's not going to happen. And I need it to.
It would be an error to not have a season two. It is
huge error.
It is like 30 of the greatest minutes of the week. Like, the things that they are doing are so unbelievable. They're just such good. They're such good characters, and they like know what they're doing. They like are themselves, but they also know what they're playing into. And it's so fun to watch the three of them. They're my two favorites. So I was like, this is the best. I would watch like different people go to, like, I'd love to see like Vicky and Tamara. Are they speaking again? I don't know, but I'd love to see the two of them go to like a weird town. There are like many pairings that I could see, like an Atlanta pairing. They should do this like all over. I'd like to see Kyle Richards go to a town and see what happens.
That's a great I think you should pitch this to somebody at Bravo. Hello, Bravo. If you're listening, give us a call.
Yeah. Andy, come on.
It'd be like the ultimate girls trip one where they like sent them all, but like send them to small towns and make them stay in motels a la Schitt's Creek. Great idea.
I may or may not have looked on that website of that motel they stayed in to see how much per night the Luann and Sonia suites are.
Also, they didn't even, when they talked about renovating it, I was like, I think you just got a TV tray and put on a new bedspread. Like, what did you do?
Mattress. And they got a Nectar mattress. Yeah, exactly.
Like, that was so much better.
They like made a walk-in closet. Sorry, Jason probably has no. Jason, you should watch. It's like really, it's rich. It's gold.
It really is comedy gold. It's, listen, I'm like a huge fan. I've said this on another show too, but like I went to Luann's thing, like her show at 54 Below. I so definitely bought tickets for her cabaret. So obsessed.
I love that.
It's cool. I love her. Rich. And all my friends were in it, so.
What can be bad?
Yeah.
So now that we're done gushing over Crappy Lake, thank you so much for joining us today. It was lovely to chat with you. It was so much fun and so much great advice, and your career's beautiful, and we can't wait to see what you do next. And thank you for providing inspiration to us and to our listeners.
Thank you.
Yeah. So before we end, we'd like to play this really fun game. My dog is barking in the background. I apologize.
Ziggy, we love.
Ziggy boy is a mess today. But we decided, because all the Beetlejuice fans love Beetlejuice, we're going to do a little Beetlejuice movie trivia. Not the musical trivia, but movie trivia.
And I might do poorly. I'm so sorry.
There's some short thoughts and there's some multiple choice. And we always give some extra lifelines, so there's no pressure.
We have to phone a friend.
We fully cheat, so don't worry.
Like, hello, Leslie. Can you help me? Well, really, like, I don't think any of us have watched the movie in forever because, you know, we started the development on this in, like, 2016 or 2015 or something. And, like, I was...
Almost a decade, right?
Yeah. Like, so I haven't looked at the movie at all because I didn't want to, like... put anything in my head. So yes, we'll see what happens.
I think you'll kill it.
Okay.
Jason, you want me to take the first one?
Yes.
Okay, ready? True or false? Beetlejuice was Tim Burton's feature film debut.
False.
Correct. It was his film. His first was Pee-wee's Big Adventure. His first film was Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Look at that.
A great movie. Excellent. What was after that? Was it Edward Scissorhands? Was that after that?
Beetlejuice next, and then maybe.
I mean, after Beetlejuice, was it Edward Scissorhands?
I don't have that back.
That's right. That's right.
I don't have that back. But we'll look at it and we'll come back.
Yeah, we'll DM. We'll go to your DMs.
Yeah, let me know.
What year was Beetlejuice released in theaters? This is multiple choice. A, 1986. 1987, C, 1988, or D, 1989?
Okay, I'm going to go with 1989 based on Winona Ryder's age, I think. Am I wrong? He's like, no, don't go with 1989. Okay, is it 86? It's right in the middle. I chose the end of the
machine. Yeah.
Well, I think it's 1988.
Wow. No. Great work.
March 30th, 1988 in U.S. theaters.
March 30th? Really?
Yeah. That's I found online. That's what the Google told me.
I have an answer. Tim Burton's third movie was Batman. And his fourth one was Edward Scissorhands. Fifth was Batman Returns.
Oh, I love Batman Returns so much.
Just so we all know, just to clear it up.
Yeah.
Back to the game. Another true or false. True or false. Beetlejuice was almost titled Scared Sheetless.
Honestly, I'm going to go with true. That seems like something that would be true.
It's true. The studio disliked the title Beetlejuice and wanted to call it House Ghosts. As a joke, Tim Burton suggested the name Scared Sheetless and was horrified when the studio considered using it.
That seems right. I guess because the Maitlands were the little ghost.
Yeah,
that tracks. Because also Beetlejuice, like in the movie, is kind of like Michael Keaton's only in it for like 20 minutes or something insane.
Yeah.
Like, he really isn't. It is weird a little bit to call it like Beetlejuice because it really was about the Maitlands and Lydia. So I can see it.
Okay, last one before the big bonus. What book, and this is multiple choice, what book does Barbara find on the table in their house? A, the Guinness Book of World Records. B, How to Die Well. C, the Handbook for the Recently Deceased. Or D, the Bible.
C,
correct. You weren't going to know.
The Handbook for the Recently Deceased is like, that's the book.
Yeah.
You're like, it's a prop I carried.
Yeah. You're like, I know.
Talk about it a lot. Yeah, that one I think I knew. Yeah.
Okay, here's a big bonus. I don't think you got any wrong. It did take you a couple of guesses to get 1988. So if you get this bonus, you win the game. Which iconic young actor played the role of Lydia Dietz?
Oh. It's Winona Ryder.
Yay!
Congratulations. You killed the game.
Thank you. I mean, come on. You have to know that.
Yeah. Thank you for participating in the Beetlejuice movie trivia on Survival Judge Podcast. We are happy to have you.
Oh my gosh. Yay, so honored to be a contestant.
Yeah. You won the game. So your reward is you'll get a VIP invite to the season 3 premiere party of Survival Jobs.
I can't wait. I'll be there.
We have been in season 2 for almost 2 years. So I'm not sure when the season 3 premiere party will be.
Maybe I'll see you in 2025. Yeah.
Yeah. We have this like very long season 2 that we just keep rolling. And we're like, one day we'll have season 3.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
That's great. You.
There are no rules.
No, you make up your own timeline. It's good.
So good. Before we go, can you please tell all of our listeners where they can find you on social media and keep up with all of the things you have going on?
Yes. I am at D Steinface on all of the things, except for maybe Threads, which I haven't threaded though. So I threaded.
I have not.
I think still. I feel like I was thinking for like 2 days and then.
I don't know, but I heard this rumor that if you try to delete it, that
Google
will delete your Instagram. I don't know. So I've just left it alone. Too.
I'm not doing that.
Do we need to make one, Jason?
I don't know.
I don't know if anyone uses it. I've not personally utilized it, but I mean, maybe people are super active on there.
We're still trying to get our TikTok going. So I don't know if we can pick up another thing.
TikTok is really hard. It really is. I'm actually shocked that there are so many like kids who are so deft at it. Like they're very good. And I am still kind of mystified by the whole thing. And I don't get it.
I don't even know. I hope this episode recorded, you know, like I can't figure out anything else.
At some point I'm like, we need to pick one app that we all commit to and use, which I guess is sort of Instagram and has been for a while.
MySpace, mm-hmm. Go back there. I'm dating myself.
How dare you? Yeah. What was that guy's name on MySpace? Jared?
Tom,
right. And he would send you the messages welcome.
He didn't try to change elections. He just did his thing.
I said Jared. Who's Jared?
The subway guy.
Didn't he get canceled in a big way?
I think so. Yeah,
sure did. Oh man! And if you guys are listening because you're a Dana fan, I'm just bringing it back because I feel like we could like pivot all day.
And not a fan of Jared the subway guy.
Listening because you're a Dana fan, as you should be, and you don't follow us yet, but follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Survival Jobs Pod, on Facebook at Survival Jobs a Podcast. Shoot us an email. Let us know what you think. SurvivalJobsPod@gmail.com. Follow me at Sammy Toots and follow my boy Jason at Jason A. Coombs. Thank you, Dana. And go see The Cottage before October 29th.
Yeah.
Yes. Love it. Thank you, Dana.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.